Thank you, Doug, and all of you may be seated, and thank you all for being here. And I know the weather's rainy outside, and I was thinking a moment ago, I certainly hope the Lord didn't come on a rainy day. I'm afraid there won't be many go out to meet him. But anyway, we're certainly glad that all of you have made the effort to be here this morning in the house of worship to honor and to praise the God that we all love. You know, if I were to ask you today, what is the most dangerous virus of the year 2020? What would you say? It's not the virus that attacks your computer. It is not the virus that gets on your phone, and that happens a lot of times, doesn't it? It's really not the physical virus that we know as the coronavirus. Someone said the greatest virus is the media virus. I don't know if you think that's true or not, but perhaps it could be in one way. But the worst virus of all is the virus that we call sin. You know, I was researching this week and found that Merriam-Webster's top word, it is a word that has actually been hit on more than any other word. People asking for the definition. Anybody know what it is? It's the word pandemic, believe it or not. More people have gone to the computer and to this website of Merriam-Webster to find out the meaning of the word pandemic. You know, we hear a lot today about vaccines, and you know, a lot of people don't like to take vaccines, but I've heard people say, well, now stay away from that vaccine because it's going to kill you. Well, the vaccine to inoculate your body with antibodies to keep you from getting the coronavirus rolled out of the state of Michigan today, Pfizer. They're being loaded on airplanes even as we speak, ready to be distributed to places all over the United States of America. COVID-19 has found its way among us, and it is a terrible, terrible thing. The coronavirus has affected a lot of people, including me. But we've had probably 20 or 25 within our congregation. There are some that are quarantined even now because they have been around people that have had the coronavirus. And once infected with this coronavirus, it will spread throughout a family. It spreads throughout our community. If you've been watching the paper about the COVID update, you will know that what I'm telling you this morning is true. There are a lot of people in Anderson County, 53 have died as a result of coronavirus. It infects a community, a family, and even a nation. COVID-19. Will take the life of 1% of Americans. I'm told that every 38 seconds in America, someone dies from the coronavirus. But the coronavirus does not even compare. It pales in comparison to the sin virus that we read about in the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, what about your spiritual health? Do you know without the blood of Jesus Christ, an inoculation of the spiritual blood in your spiritual veins, 100% will die spiritually? Who gets the coronavirus vaccine first? Has been a big debate with the Center for Disease Control. I'm glad that the FDA finally approved it for emergency use. Someone asked me the other day, will you take the coronavirus vaccine? Absolutely, I will. I don't understand the fear that people have. You know, people are so afraid of dying. And if this Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and other manufacturers have designed a vaccine to prevent us from not only dying from it, but from even getting it in our body, why would we not want to do it? The side effects to it are very minimal. You know, there is no debate in heaven or on earth about who gets the vaccine first. They will be lined up. We're told that healthcare workers will get the vaccine first. But you know what? When Christ came into the world, he came for the purpose of inoculating us from sin. And God plays no favorites. For in the book of Acts chapter 10, the Word of God says that in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness with him is accepted with him. There is no favorites with God. For the Bible says in that same text that there is no respect of persons with God. You know, when I think about sin's virus, I'm reminded that Satan loves to infect churches. He infects us with all kinds of sin. He infects churches with gossip and backbiting and innuendo and division within the ranks of the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to weaken us and leave us spiritually sick and actually bring death to your spiritual life. And he is playing havoc with the Lord's church today in many, many places. Not only here, and I hear it a lot from preachers and other congregations. Paul writes to the early church in Romans 12 and verse 2, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to the world. Don't give in to the sinful things of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you have to prove by testing that you may discern what is the will of God, that good and acceptable will of God. If you are not inoculated by the Word of God, don't get exposed to sin, because you will give in to sin every time. You know, no one likes to go to the doctor. I don't. I've got a doctor's appointment on Wednesday. Got to give blood tomorrow. I don't necessarily like for the doctor to come and poke my arm and draw blood. Anybody in here like that? Do you delight in that? If you do, you got a serious, serious problem. But when I think about a spiritual health assessment, I understand how important it really is. You know, we go to the doctor and we take all of these diagnostic tests, and there are so many of them. I do a wellness check every 3 months. And many of you do as well. But most folks don't like to go through diagnostic tests. We don't. But let me tell you, many of us ought to go through, and really all of us should, take a spiritual diagnostic exam often. For Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21 teaches us that we ought to examine our lives. 1 Corinthians 11 says that, and prove whether or not we are in the faith. Am I increasing in the love of God? Verse 9 of that text. Am I increasing in hatred of sin? And am I increasing in holy living by allowing the Spirit of God to live within me? And am I increasing in my love for the church, my love for my family, my love for fellow man? Am I increasing in the fruits of the Spirit, like love and joy and peace and long-suffering? Am I increasing in generosity to God? As God has given unto us, the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Am I increasing in forgiveness? Verses 18 through 20. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, and this wasn't the only occasion that it happened in the book of Matthew chapter 4. But on this occasion, the devil tempted Jesus with three devices. And he did it for the purpose of trying to infect the heart of our Lord and our Savior and lead him away from our God who is in heaven. And those three temptations are mentioned in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and following. The Apostle John identifies what they are. He says, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is not of the Father, but it's of the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust that is in it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever." You see, we have to keep our distance away from sin. We talk a lot today about socially distancing. But you know what? We need to spiritually distance as well. Away from anything that is sinful, that can harm us spiritually, that could destroy our life. And it's a lot further apart than 6 foot. There are four things that I want to share with you this morning that will keep us spiritually healthy. Number one is the Word of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Word of God, the Bible, the New Testament, is the vaccine for our spiritual needs? There are so many people that are going astray right now, that are dying spiritually because they have not been inoculated with the Word of Jehovah God. And this vaccine has no side effects. This vaccine is as pure as you will find anywhere. It's not made by the doctrines of men. It was not created in a lab somewhere. It doesn't have to be kept at 95 degrees or 95 below zero. But it is to be shared with all men. And they are to be inoculated with this word that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no more tests. Not of the Word of God. We're to test the doctrines of men. 1 John 4 verse 1 says, "Prove the spirits whether they are of God." Whether they are of the vaccine that we call the New Testament. There were no trials. God didn't have to send and try whether or not this was going to work. Jesus didn't die on a cross to try and find out if it would lead men to Christ. He went through trials, the pain, the suffering, the anguish, the humiliation, but His Word is proven to be true. The only cure for the disease that we call sin is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why David said in Psalms 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It is a deterrent to sin. It will keep you from doing what is wrong. It will keep the devil away from your life. You know why I know that? Because every time that Christ was tempted by those three things mentioned in the book of Matthew chapter 4, every time Jesus was tempted, He quoted the Word of God. He fought off the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, folks. It's not just a defensive sword, but it is an offensive sword as well. We ought to be going after the devil. But how do you avoid spiritual viruses? You have to get inoculated. You know how you get inoculated? By doing what you're doing right now this morning, worshiping God. You're in the presence of His Word that is being taught. And I'm going to tell you something. The people that do not come to worship will not be nearly as strong as you are. They won't. I was talking with another preacher yesterday, and he said, you know, we have a lot of people that don't come to worship anymore. As I told you some time ago, he said the same thing. He said, you know what? I doubt that we'll get a lot of them back, ever. You know why? They allowed the devil to take charge in their heart. They didn't use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to fight the disease called sin, you have to get inoculated with it. You have to read it. You have to put it in your heart. And read it every day. It is the spiritual antivirus. It will keep sin from you. But sin, why, it'll keep you from getting inoculated. The major pharmaceutical companies that produce vaccine, like Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca, and there are many others that are coming down the pike. But you know what? There's only one God and Father above all, who is in all, through all, and in all, Ephesians chapter 4, who designed this vaccine, this antidote, if you will, for sin. It is the only spiritual serum that is affected, the Word of God. That's the only thing. Being a good person is not going to keep you from sin. I've heard people say, well, he's such a good moral person. That doesn't keep you from being harvested by the devil himself, folks. Being honest doesn't keep you from sin's way and the disease spiritually. But there's another thing you need to know. When I take this spiritual diagnostic, I need to ask myself, am I keeping myself and my distance away from it? Not only do I put the Word of God in my heart as a tool to keep me from sinning, but am I staying away? A lot of times Christians play at Christianity. We get on the periphery and we want to get as close as we can to the real thing, to the Word of God. But it's like people ask questions like this. The people who want to play on the outside. How much do I have to give? How much do I have to serve? How many times do I have to come to worship? How many souls do I have to save? How much do I have to read my Bible? You see, if you don't keep yourself away from sin, it won't be long until you are infected. We know the guidelines of CDC that says you got to keep away 6 foot. I understand all that. And people try to practice that, and I praise God for those that do. But we have to avoid sin, that horrible virus, as if our life depended on it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It does depend on whether or not you stay away from sin. Now, that's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. Don't touch the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. And God says, I will receive you. To be separate means that you set it off by boundary lines. We ought to know how far we will go. You don't want to get as close to the edge as others do. And we are saved if we obey the gospel. It's not just enough to put this in your heart, folks. You got to put it in your life. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. And then being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. If you don't believe you need to stay away from sin, listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. He says, abstain from the very appearance of sin. Anything that remotely resembles sin, you stay away from. It will hurt your life. When you start courting sin, it won't be long till you fall in love with it, and it won't bother you at all. Not at all. And you will become a spiritual adulterer. Reason I say that, you know, we're married to Christ. The church is. The church is the bride of Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. And when we start dating sin and courting sin, it won't be long until our affection and our love will be for someone else other than the Christ and His kingdom. But you know what? That's a lesson that's tough to get through the minds of a lot of people. And no matter how big your hammer is, you can't pound common sense into stupid people. And there are a lot of stupid people in our world. Not only did he say abstain from evil, but if you read that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, another translation says to hold back. Keep off. Prevent it. You know, prevention is so very, very important. That's what we're trying to do with inoculations, isn't it? Is to prevent you from being infected. To fear the Lord and shun evil will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. And then in the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 17, Solomon said that the highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their life. You know what? In reality, we ought to be more concerned about inoculating ourselves with the Word of God than for the coronavirus. Because when you don't inoculate, the danger is grave. And it's a big virus. It's the worst virus that is going on in our country. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But the Bible goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. We need to socially distance ourselves from sin. You're not trying to be unkind or ugly by doing that. We understand that we have to separate ourselves. Things are not normal for us in America today with a pandemic going on like COVID-19. But when we think about sin and how it affects our life and destroys us and leads us away and down the path of unrighteousness, it is something that we ought to guard every day of our lives. Avoid sin, but how do we do it? Number three, develop a strong and a vibrant faith. You know, they tell you that what you have to do, and they say that after you've had that inoculation, by the way, for the coronavirus, after about 7 days, chances are you will not be infected with coronavirus. That's how quickly it works. Do you know what? The Word of God is quick, too. It's alive. We have to develop a strong faith in God. Our faith will keep us from getting involved in sin. There was a woman who came to Jesus one time who had an issue of blood, and she just said, if I could just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I can be made whole. And she reached out and she touched the hem of that garment. And in the book of Mark 5 and 34, Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'm going to tell you something. When I had coronavirus, I exercised great faith in God. When they were getting ready possibly to put me on a ventilator, I prayed all night and I was in the hospital. I prayed all night. God, don't let it happen. Let me heal. Let me overcome. And my sister is in the hospital even now as we speak in Longview with coronavirus, double pneumonia, COVID pneumonia, heart failure. I hope she pulls through. I certainly have been praying for her. I would appreciate your prayers in her behalf. Your faith can make you whole. For healing and deliverance comes to the children of God. For if you truly believe, it will produce faith. And by the way, faith is much more than just believing. And faith will produce obedience unto our Lord God. For faith without works is dead, James says, James 2 and verse 26. And so if we want a healthy church, we must have a vibrant faith as God's children. And not let the world deter us from doing what we ought to do. But number four, there's another thing, last of all, that will keep you spiritually healthy. And this is God's design, by the way. This is the Word of God. This is the inoculation that I'm talking about. The antivirus. It's fellowship with the right people, the church. It wasn't by accident that Jesus established the church in Matthew 16 when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or coronavirus or anything else will never bring her down. She will always be, even death itself. Takes faith, all right, but it takes fellowship as well. And in that fellowship, there's laughter. You know, sometimes people go through life worried and anxious. We're kind of like Martha, and we're troubled about many things in this world. One of the great antidotes, and this is what God says, folks. I'm just telling you what He says. One of the great antidotes to sin and being involved in the wrong things, and the thing that will bring healing to our bodies and to our spirits, is laughter. Someone said it is the best medicine. And you know what? I don't know of anybody that don't need a dose. Do you? Honestly. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Solomon said that in the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs in verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit will dry the bones, verse 22. And then again in the 15th chapter of that same book in verse 30, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. And I'm going to tell you, there is no better news than this right here. You won't find this on CNN. You won't find it on MSNBC, ABC, CBS. You won't even find this on Fox News. But you'll find it here. Because it's the good news. That's what the word gospel actually means. For Proverbs 15, verse 13 through 15, a glad heart makes a happy face. Have you ever noticed that? People that are really glad and appreciative and they have that thankful spirit, there's a smile that just radiates their face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. And a wise person is hungry for knowledge while the food feeds on trash. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. This, my friend, is a passage. It is an inoculation that you ought to put into your body every day. Read it and read it again. It will change your demeanor. David said in Psalms 126, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations that the Lord has done great things for them. We want people in the world to have a greater appreciation for the United States of America. Do what he says here. Sing with joy. Fill your tongues with joy. And they will say that the Lord is doing great things among them. You want to stay away from the unfruitful works of darkness? And you understand that the inoculation involves a number of things. It involves the blood of Jesus. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that. For that is the most important, isn't it? That's the spiritual plasma of Jesus. You know, one of the things they do for those that are infected with coronavirus is give them plasma from those who have had the virus. You know, those in the Holy Scriptures warn us over and over that have been involved in sin. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle James, John, all of them who were involved in sin at one time have come to know God. And we draw from their spiritual veins the plasma of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. I'm thankful today that I can say that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. For salvation is through that shed blood of Jesus Christ, every drop of it. In the Old Testament, for Israel to be saved when they were set free, or to be set free from Egyptian bondage, they were to take the blood and put it over the door of their house. You know what? The door of my life has the blood of Jesus. His blood touched my life a long time ago. And you know what? It touches me every day. For the Bible says that if we confess our sins daily, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by His blood. The question I ask you this morning is, are you covered by the blood of Jesus, or are you susceptible to spiritual death? We sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But I will survive. And those of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior, and we have injected the Word of God into our spiritual lives, we have the blood of Jesus running through our spiritual veins. But how do you get and keep your healing very quickly, fulfill your purpose, take individual responsibility for your sin and what you do, intentionally fellowship with the body of Jesus, humbly serve, be passionate in your worship unto God, mean it, don't just go through the routine of it, courageously evangelize and constantly pray unto your Father who is in heaven. You know, I wear a mask for the sake of other people. I don't wear it for me. I'm told that I have antibodies and I can't really get the coronavirus now, but I wear it for the sake of other people who are around me. I do it because I love the church and I love my brethren. And my faith has overridden my fears. To have the vaccine, however, and do nothing with it will never result in antibodies that will keep you safe. It's true physically also. For those of you that may be saying, well, I don't know whether I ought to take it or not. I'm telling you, if the vaccine is available unto you, you had better take it. And if you should contact coronavirus without having taken it, you have no one to blame but self. I will take it. We must wash our hands, we're told. But we must wash our lives spiritually in the blood of the Lamb. For Isaiah 1 and verse 16 says, "Wash yourselves and be made clean." On August the 16th in the year 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed just after takeoff from Detroit International Airport, killing 155 people. Only one person survived that crash, a 4-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. When rescuers found Cecilia, they didn't believe that she had been on the plane. Many of the investigators actually thought and assumed that she had been a passenger in one of the cars on the highway onto which the airliner had crashed. But when the passenger registered for the flight was checked, sure enough, there was Cecilia's name. She survived, and it was most unusual. For even as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt and got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around Cecilia, and then would not let her go. And nothing could separate that child or that mother from one another. Neither tragedy nor disaster, neither the fall or the flames that followed, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature could separate her from the love of her mom. I'm thankful today that there is nothing that can separate me from God as I'm living for Him and as I am endeavoring to follow in His footsteps. There was a woman who was buried one time under a 150-year-old live oak tree in the cemetery of a church in rural Louisiana. In accordance with the woman's instructions, only one word was carved on the tombstone. It was the word waiting. Waiting. Isn't that what we're doing today? Waiting. Waiting for our coming Lord. Waiting for Jesus to burst the clouds of heaven. And waiting to rush out to meet Him and embrace Him. To thank and love Him. I hope this morning that you're ready for that moment. But you may be waiting to become a Christian, and that's the wrong wait. You may be waiting to inoculate yourself with the Word of God, and you could wait too long, and it has no effect. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you'd consider obeying the gospel of Jesus, coming to Him to make the greatest confession that man has ever made, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. And through a penitent heart, you'd yield yourself to be lowered in water, baptized for the remission of your sin. And if you've strayed away from God, and you're on the periphery of His church and of your spiritual walk with Christ, I hope that you'll come back to Him today as we stand together and as we sing.